is Armand Demel with you at The Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 p.m. Well, almost every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 p.m., except sometimes we have fund drives, which F-U-N-D, it's called, fund drives, which are also known as fun drives because we have fun. And during those times, I'm not on necessarily Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. We have an upcoming fun drive on October. There'll be change of dates. But it's nice to turn on your radio and hear something consistently that you know you can depend on. You know, I'm driving along and I want to hear my programs, so on and so forth. You know, consistency, it's a beautiful thing. Is it a beautiful thing? Consistency. I'll tell you, religion loves consistency. Same message over and over again. Why? Because God wants you to. Why? Because God said you should. Why? Because God told us. Consistency. You can be consistently repetitive as a parent. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing. A child wants to learn how to behave. It looks for guidelines. What's within its limits? What's not within its limits? So, as naturally a child would do, it would test your boundaries. And it's going to test your boundaries. The child is going to say to you, can I get up at 11 o'clock at night and walk around the house? And maybe mom says, no, once you go to sleep, you go to sleep. Can I turn on my computer in the middle of the night? Can I watch my do my emails or my text messaging while I'm laying in bed? Mom says, no, you can't do it. It's no good for you. Dad says, it's all right. Mom's not here. What does that do to a child's brain? Well, maybe that's the plot. You know, somebody once said, a grandmother is a person who lets you do things that your mother won't let you do. You know, a grandmother is the kind of person like you. I know somebody who's bringing up a child, and she hates the child watching videos, movie videos. She doesn't want a child to grow up on these videos. But her mother, when her mother babysits for the child, the kid watches as many videos as he wants. Why? Because he loves it, because he loves his grandmother as a result of being able to watch his videos. Grandma learned, I got a special candy for you. Consistency, does it work or not work? Is it supposed to work in nature? Is everything supposed to be consistent, or is it supposed to be the exception that you reach for? What if everything were consistent? What would life be like? What if it was all the same? It'd be like living in suburbia and coming to Manhattan on a train to go to work, and everything is the same over and over again. But then they wouldn't have the bar car, you know, they wouldn't have that stopping off at the bar and having a drink to just change the consistency. Should a romantic relationship be consistent? Now, what does that mean? Does it mean you got to trust your mate to stay the same? Will you please stay the same? Well, some mates say, no, I'm not going to stay the same. I can't stay the same. I feel different every day. Other mates say, yes, I feel the same all the time. So it's my question. Henry Louis Mencken once said, for every complex problem, there is a solution that is simple, neat, and wrong. Kind of an interesting concept. The simple, neat solutions are wrong. when I talk about what people do when being consistent, I mean that they generally behave in similar ways under similar circumstances. When it comes to thinking about what people say, I mean that what they say is coherent and not self-contradictory. A woman is consistent when she always loves her spouse. Saying today that I love you and saying the next day I do not love you is inconsistent. The uniformity of a consistent behavior reflects reliability and predictability, if that's what you like. How about you, friends? Do you want your mate to be predictable? There's some strange thing about men and women. It seems that men have generally said when they marry somebody, or when they find a woman, they want her to stay the same. Whereas women always want their men to develop. They want their men to change. They want their men to be consistently different. And the men want their women to be consistently the same. Now, that's generalizing. And, of course, that works across sexual biases as well, because it just seems like that argument takes place a lot. Why don't you stay the same? We expect people to be consistent, and this expectation has a great deal of intellectual and practical value. I can depend on you. If I know you're going to clean my gutters, you're going to clean my gutters. If I know you're going to take out the trash, you're going to take out the trash. However, from the point of view of emotions, which are generated by change and are more sensitive to contextual features, the value of the expectation that people are consistent is questionable. Sometimes people doing the same thing is boring. Just boring. Oh, here we are doing the same thing over and over again. What are we going to do? We're going to go home. We're going to watch television. We're going to eat. You know, sometimes you got to go to a castle. Sometimes you have to reach out. Sometimes you have to do something a little different. The behavior of extreme people, my friends, those governed by extreme political ideologies, who appear to be uninfluenced by the complexity of the world, is consistent. Some extreme people are consistently extreme. On the other hand, people who are sensitive to such complexities are often flexible. And the sensitive people tend to be less consistent. Consistency of others in our personal relationship matters because understanding and predicting their behavior is important to the extent that it's going to affect you. What they do, if they say, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, consistency counts. If they change, it's not so comfortable. Predicting the behavior of others enables us to prepare our responses, and even to control it if it necessarily calls for it. Now, what about you, my friends? Is there a consistency in your life? Are you consistent? Well, it kind of goes back to way before then. What about your parents? Were they consistent? Did they give you the same message over and over again? A recent research study about how people are loved. Two Israeli researchers, Avi Asser and Guy Roth, did a study on what kind of parenting worked best for children, the consistent or the inconsistent kind. And it turned out when you had a consistent system of reward and punishment, and reward punishment in this case was you get love when you're good, you don't get love when you're not good. You don't get punishment, but you don't get love. Love is withheld when you're not good. That yielded more effective behavior on the children's parts. However, they tended to dislike their parents more. The people who had love-dependent relationships, who had relationships that were dependent on their behaviors, disliked their parents more than the other people. Now, on the other hand, when you have somebody who says to you, reward and punishment, how's that work? Does that work? I love you when you're good. I punish you when you're bad. What happened to those kids? They resented their parents less. Isn't that strange? Withholding love led to more resentment than did punishment. What is this saying about us? Are you saying that I, as a child, have to be consistent, and if I'm not consistent, I'm going to have to pay dues for it? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Now, think about your parents. You got two parents. One parent says, be consistent. The other parent says, don't be consistent. One parent says, we're going to be the same. Mommy and I believe you should not go to the movies. Right? That's what Daddy says. Mommy says, and you say, can I have a few extra bucks? And you wheedle it out of one parent or the other. What about you folks? Did you get one parent who you could get to bend their rules more than the other? I'll bet you did. This would be a very interesting survey to take here on WBAI. Let's take a survey. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. Let's look at consistency in parenting and your consistency with your parents and which parent you found easier to get what you want from. Let me see how I could phrase that. To get what you want out of. To get them to do what you want. Which parent would have been better at it? Let's take a look at that. 212-209-2900. Early time for us to take your calls, but we have so much programming coming up that I wanted to use today as a day to be able to take your telephone calls today. 212-209-2900. The charge of inconsistent behavior in a personal relationship also reflects a lack of awareness of the complexity of the other person's situation. You know, I mean, sometimes when you look at your mate and you think about your mate as being just there for you, that's all they're there for you, right? That's all that matters. Well, then you expect consistency. But expecting consistency does not make you see the many factors that go into your mate, him or her, being the unique being they are. What makes up who they are? You know? Are they powerful? Are they strong? Do they do things effectively? Do they have parents? Do they have a body that's going crazy? Do they have a lot of stuff inside? Do they have foods that they eat? What works on them? What doesn't work on them? Do they have pressures from the outside, pressures from the inside? Consistency and expecting consistency can be great for love. It's wonderful to know who you're going to go to sleep with at night. Consistency could be terrible if that sleep at night is a bad sleep. If the person you're with you don't like but you just settled for. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls in just a minute. The prevailing model of romantic relationships involves the expectation of acceptance, empathy, validation, reciprocal disclosure. This kind of thing, when you have this kind of consistency, really leads to a kind of profound interdependency. A nice thing. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls since you're on the air. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello.
I can't believe I got through.
Oh, my goodness. You must have called fast.
Oh, I was there.
Well, nowadays with text messaging, people's fingers are developing speed.
Yeah, I'm at work. But, you know, yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to get through. So, consistency with parenting, right? That's the subject.
Sure.
Well, my mother was consistently cold, whether I was good or bad. So, what happens there? I don't know. You know, because you're asking, you know, about parents.
Consistently cold?
Yeah, consistent in terms of, you know, whether bad behavior, good behavior. I had the same behavior, whether I was good or not.
She didn't like you one way or another.
I guess not.
You felt that way, right?
Yeah, I did.
How many children did you have in your family?
Well, my family's much bigger, but I was the oldest in her home. She has more children.
And you were the oldest in her home?
Right.
And so you were her child.
Oh, the oldest girl, rather.
You're the oldest girl. And yeah. Was your so did she like your brothers better?
Well, I had an older brother who was with us, and yeah, she did.
She loved him better, so she didn't like you very much.
No.
Were you close to your father?
No, he wasn't home.
He wasn't at home.
Right, she hated him.
She hated your father.
Yes, and I looked just like him.
All right, so now we have something there, right?
Yeah.
So there, in some way, you are close to your father because you have a genetic, you share a genetic appearance with him.
That's about it. But
and you know, your mom had somehow couldn't see past that to show you the love that you needed.
Yeah.
That's so painful for a kid.
It is. It's terrible.
Tell me about it. Tell me, would you try to just get her approval? Would you ask her for things? What would you do?
No, I won't.
You
I
gave
just
up.
Accept it, yeah.
And how does that relate to your romantic life? Are you the same way in your romances?
Well, yeah. Actually, I expect a lot, you know, romantically. I expect to be truly open and warm because that's who I am, you know. But I was in a relationship that my partner, for me, was not really genuinely giving. And I spent many years with her.
And she was trying to give you, you were trying to get her to love you back?
Yeah, well, it started off, it started off rocky, you know, but I recognized it from the very, very, very beginning. And then I guess as the years moved on, she was more nicer and loving, but not in a way that I felt would be good for me.
So here's the story. The story is you have a mother who doesn't love you, who doesn't give you the warmth and affection you need. You grow up. You find another mother, a relationship.
Yeah.
And you'd find somebody who's very much like your mother, but not exactly.
Yeah.
Because this person at least yields a little bit.
Yes.
You're able to get a little love out of her.
Right.
But so what Harville Hendricks would say is we choose people who are like our parents so that we could overcome our problem that we had as a kid with that very issue. So here you were with a cold mother. You chose somebody who was meltable a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, who would melt a little bit, not enough.
But not enough, and I what recognize that.
What Harville Hendricks said was each time you develop a little more skill at it, and eventually you don't need to fight the drama anymore.
Right.
So perhaps the next person you pick be an ice queen.
Oh, thank goodness. But you know, Armand, we have broken up for a while, and we got back together again, and I kind of accepted that, even knowing that I shouldn't be there, you know, but our relationship is actually changing.
So she's more with you now. So there's a caution I have to give you.
Yeah.
A caution is when you're used to not being loved, and you're used to somebody being at a distance, when that person truly loves you, sometimes you got to run away. I know a lot of people like that. They're used to just creating, you know, they're used to being in control, or they're used to that. When they finally find somebody who can love them the way they are, they run away. So you got to watch your own fight here.
Okay, so what, should run away?
No, the opposite. Don't be too scared when she loves you.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I'm learning that.
Yeah.
It's like I'm learning as we go along. You know, I'm learning to open my heart to allow her to love me.
Does she give you any gifts?
Yeah, she does, but not that much because I'm not someone who needs gifts.
Well, the reason I mentioned it is you're the kind of person who wouldn't turn away gifts.
I don't turn them away.
You would discourage people.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't reward it. The next time she gives you something, welcome it in. And
yeah.
Take all of its importance.
I'm trying to just open it up and allow her to care about me.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing.
Allow myself, rather.
I wish you luck. It's this battle. This is one battle. You may need to continue this for future years. But it's a nice thing that you've at least won part of the battle.
Thank you.
What's
Armand.
Your name, by the way?
Nora.
Nora, thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Have
sure.
a good day.
Thank you. 212-209-2900, consistency. What if everybody just stayed the same? Wouldn't that be nice? No, it would not be nice. What if I did the same radio show every day, which I practically do? What if I stopped thinking? What if Stephanie Dombra said, oh, I can't think of anything new to think about? Impossible. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
This is Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi. I was thinking about that consistency, especially in, like, dating but not really being in a partnership, you know, and how it affects you when, I guess what happens is, for me, I'm learning not to have the sex before, you know, like some real commitment or agreement or some kind of development happens. And what happens, though, is people seem to trust me and tell me deep things. Like, I was going out with somebody, a guy said to me he was incested by his aunt's daughter and da 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 da. And then after all that revelation, the revelation seemed to be too much for him, and then he had a brother in jail, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, he seemed to not want to talk to me anymore. Like, I should never have told you those things anyway.
That's a funny thing. Good. You're Sarah, you're leading us to something very important. There are things. Can you imagine me as a shrink when I meet people at a party? And I love to go to parties where I don't know people. At first, but you know, and sometimes people say things to me that are so transparent. But one of the things I do is avoid that kind of conversation. I avoid it because I believe when people let down their guard, they get reactive to it.
Mm.
Now, you must be the kind of person where people feel really confident and really accepting, and you must invite them to levels of depth that they're not used to go to. And what you see is that people don't always like having gone there.
Mm.
So sometimes what's appropriate is to back away a little bit. You know, change the subject. Don't go that deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people say they only want to have relationships with people who could go really, really deep. I say beware the really, really deep. That grows over time. You get to the bottom layer of your childhood incest somewhere after you get to know the person for a long time.
Like maybe years, huh?
Yeah, maybe years, maybe months. But, you know, over time. Over time. It's a pity because, you know, I know you're good-hearted. I know you just care. But on the other hand, when people expose themselves, they do feel vulnerable.
Right. So just accept them where they are.
Accept them where they are. Don't push it too far. And if it seems like they're going too deep, too fast, duck aside.
Yeah. I think that I have a feeling I'll probably see this person again. And mm-hmm. I will. I'll just keep it light and bright, like you said.
Well, not even light and bright. Just remember the tango. Remember a tango. It's all a tango. A tango is, you know, one, two, three steps, and then a step to the right. You got to do one extra step. You got to do one oblique step. It's not always in one direction.
Right.
I'm going to probably get calls about the tango now.
Well, it is. You know what? It's really good. I appreciate what you said about men want the woman to maybe stay the same, because there is a consistency of allowing that I have. But maybe I need to change that, like you said, and step to the side and say, oh, you know, I just wanted to, you know, look at the sky, the night sky for right now, instead of getting into those deep things, because you're right. Then the person can feel more safe that when they finally really, 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 really do reveal, it's when they're not so scared that they're going to repeat their mother or whatever it is.
Sure, and keep in mind, Sarah, that you're holding back sex. When you hold back sex, men tend to bend themselves out of shape. So they may think that by getting deeper with you, it's a kind of intimacy that they would get through sex. So it may be a replacement for the actual sex that you're holding back. So that may have a play in it. It may have a part in it.
Oh, so you mean like they may think, oh, let me be deeper with her and then I'll have sex with her?
Or let me be deeper with her because I can't have sex with her. Let me at least be deeper with her because then she'll trust me and like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, thank you for that. I will think about it. Is this person, as she said, they did not choose to have sex yet. They mm-hmm. knew that, you know, they were in a certain kind of program and they needed to take time, and their counselor kind of said, you know, go really, really, really slow based on what's happened to you. So for him, he...
So it's interesting that his counselor said that to him, but what he decides to do was give you the entire, you know, revelation of his life. You know, that's pretty difficult. He's going counter to his instructor's message.
Well, people do that.
Yeah, of course they do, because nobody wants to be consistent. I thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. How does consistency touch you? What happens when you have to deal with somebody's inconsistency? Can you take it? Boy, it takes a powerful person to say, all right, I'm not going to get what I need. This person is not here now. They've moved aside. And I'm going to love them anyway. It just takes training. If that person, of course, moves aside forever, that's one story. But if they just move aside temporarily and you learned it over 10 years, you know, over a number of years, you learn that, yeah, they'll be back, they're back. Give them room. Give them room. So consistency sometimes is only a requirement of people who can't trust that there is a kind of a natural rhythm to things, a rhythm to love, a rhythm to romance, a rhythm to affection. I think that when I talk about people do when being consistent, I mean that they generally behave in similar ways under similar circumstances. But I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that among everybody I know. You know, you hire an employee. You want that employee to be consistent. You work for a company. You want the job to be consistent. We kind of set a job for ourselves. We set a world and we say, no changes, please. There are too many changes around me. I can't deal with them. How do you deal with change? You know, are you somebody who likes change, avoids change? We're going to take more calls after our break. This is Armand DeMille. When our inner systems all support one another, and when they're all supported by external evidence, we have a comfortable state of affair. When we have consistency, we like it. Cognitive dissonance occurs when things fall out of alignment, when we no longer have this consistent thing over and over again. Something falls out, and it leads us to try to achieve a maximum. We try to organize when we can't make sense out of things. When there's a conflict between behaviors and our feelings, then something is manifesting that it's stepping out of our consistent belief system. It's a time to pay attention. So, my friends, I will be back with you in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to play some deeply, deeply romantic music about change, because I haven't played it for a long while. I play this for a special friend. And we will be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Mambo, charanga, son montuno, jazz, merengue, plena, Latin jazz, Latin soul, Brazilian jazz, samba, calypso, soca, new sounds from the African continent, all this and more. On New World Gallery, every Sunday, 4 o'clock p.m., with award-winning host Chico Alvarez. New World Gallery, where jazz meets Latin, where Africa and Europe converge. Right here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Randy Crawford. WCRA, WFORD, Randy Crawford. Everything must change. You know, consistency of others in our personal relationship matters, because understanding and predicting their behaviors is important, especially as much as it affects us. Predicting the behaviors of others enables us to prepare our response and even control it if the occasion calls for it. That means control our own response. Now, these goals are of lesser utility concerning ourselves, and hence the requirement of consistently is less significant when applied to our own behavior. We don't have to be consistent. You do. I don't have to be consistent. You have to be consistent. I have to be able to predict my own reaction. You don't have, you know. So you have to stay the same. I want to change. I want to have the freedom. Because to myself, I don't have to be consistent. I'll be as consistent as I want to be. And if I feel like changing, I'll change. We do not usually perceive ourselves as inconsistent, but we often perceive others as behaving in an inconsistent manner. But believe it or not, we're all inconsistent. You just don't know it. You're not aware of it. Now, the charge of inconsistent behavior in a personal relationship often reflects a lack of awareness of the complexity of the other person's situation. When you, concerning ourselves, the need for consistency is weaker because our own complexity is automatically taken into account. When considering the possibility that our partner would love two people at the same time, for example, how about that possibility? Most of them found the behavior unacceptable and did not acknowledge a comparable complexity of their partner's situation. So how can you love two people at the same time? Do you think that's possible? Have you ever had that happen outside of family? Imagine, I love two men. I love two women. How could that be? David Snarsh, who wrote a great deal about love and relationships, he said, the strong need for consistency is compatible with the other validated model of intimacy in which one's whole identity is based upon the other person's reaction to you and how they see you. When people cannot predict the behavior of their beloved, they cannot validate their own identity. Get this complexity, see? If I can't depend on your reaction, if I can't depend on you loving me, I don't feel lovable. If I don't consent, if I don't see your sexual response, I'm not sexual. I am only as you make me, because you are the consistent force. Therefore, when you are inconsistent, I disappear. I get shaken. Because my relationship, myself, is based on you. It destabilizes me. It threatens me. The prevailing model of romantic relationships involves the expectation of acceptance, empathy, right? This is what you want from your partner. Acceptance, empathy, validation, and reciprocal disclosure. You tell me, I tell you. And this model involves profound dependency upon the other. The nature of the other's consistency is of very importance. So what about you? What about you and your relationships? How do you deal with it? How have you dealt with it? Is consistency your big item? You know, people talk about truth. All I want is honesty in a relationship. Somebody once said that they went through Match.com. And every woman was saying the same thing. All I want is somebody who's honest with me. What is that command? What is that thing? I want somebody who is honest with me. I want someone who is honest with me. I want someone who's honest with me be on Match.com, which is where people lie. You see, that's where they start off lying. So I wonder what would happen if you were on Match.com and you put out a thing that said, all I want is somebody who could lie to me in a nice way. You know, you might get a lot of attention. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're taking your calls. Hi, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. Sorry to sneak that up on you, Michael. Hi, you're on the air. Oh, I think we have a caller there.
Hello, is that me?
That's you.
I find, because I'm looking up different therapists that get a lot of money for their specified couples counseling, such and such counseling, many humans don't have even the option of choosing who they live with and who they marry. It has to do with social economics. When you have money, you pay the private person. I can't have a relationship in a marriage if I'm coerced into marrying. And if I don't understand men and haven't lived with them, how should I be expected to trust someone when I get rushed into a marriage? And I tried to get out and couldn't because my family, sister and brother, they were involved in marrying me. And it was to their ignorance and sorrow that the one who did the worst damage is still unable to deal with what she does because she meddles all over my life, a younger sibling. So she doesn't know how to have a relationship with me. She threatens me, and she's frightened of me, and she says she tells other people she loves me, but it was like that first caller who told you. She seems to be kind of like the younger baby of my mom, and my mom had a traumatic life. And this little baby, she survived when the healthy twin died, and I went to pot because I didn't find my mother. My mother fed this beautiful infant. It was glowing.
And very, very sad. Before you continue.
No, I'm talking about relations. I'll stop. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. What's your name, by the way?
Tony.
Tony, it's very sad. Feeling that, you know, you were pushed into a marriage and you can't do anything about it.
Well, here's
and you're
worse.
Alienated from your sister, you know? That's
No, I'm not alienated from her. She and I, like that girl said, she's not my mother. She has a relationship with the person she helped me marry in a hurry.
Yeah.
Without knowing. And the Catholic Church, you can't get out of it. You have to pay $500. I didn't pay that $500.
What's the $500 for?
To get out of a...
Oh, an annulment. I see.
And I couldn't do it because once I had a child, the whole family of my husband wanted the child, and so did my sister.
Tony,
so
you
I
sound...
I into
Tony,
the background. Yes,
Tony,
yes.
You got a lot of issues here.
No, they're not issues.
Okay,
this
but let me...
reality.
Yeah,
not
no,
my issue.
A lot of reality. You said
thank
earlier...
Thank you.
...that you were searching for people...
No, I'm not searching.
I'm sorry. I thought you said you were looking for therapists.
No. I look at the magazines and my doctor that was cheap because he worked with one of the people that was on your radio station.
Sure.
He worked. I didn't have to pay for the analysis. We live in a new world. I called him up now. You know what he told me? He said, oh, well, I don't take Medicare and if your insurance isn't of this kind, you now have to pay $250 for the first visit, slightly less, three payments adding up to $600.
Well, listen, Tony, I've got to get going. We got more callers on the line.
Okay.
But
bye.
If you do need to find somebody in your network or take Medicare, do feel free to call me and we'll find it for you. You know, just call my office and we'll find you people. Seems to be a lot of issues there. Sometimes, you know, if you listen closely, you hear the pressure from a person's insides. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm having a problem with consistency with my daughter. I've been having a problem myself, and I have a she's like, trying to press my buttons and push to the limit. And I'm having a hard time parenting her. I love her, and our relationship has changed since I've been having some issues of my own.
And so what, you say she pushes your buttons on certain issues and she's pushing your limits. Do you have a wife around as well?
Yes.
Okay, so how does she push your limits?
My Well, she doesn't want to, like, say, let me look at her homework. She just doesn't respect me as much anymore.
She doesn't respect you, and does she show that disrespect by yelling at you or saying something to you?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, now how would you take responsibility for that? What would you say?
What do you mean?
I mean, how do you own it? You know, every parent has to look at a child's behavior and say, how did I fester this? How did I make this happen?
Well, I like I said, I had some issues of my own, so I was less there for her and more, I guess, more depressed and I want to get back to being myself, but in the meantime I want to be able to be as good of a parent as I can.
So you may need some makeup time here with her.
Yeah.
You may need to be able to do that. Are your wife and you on the same page, or are you separated?
No, we're together.
And how is your love between you and your wife? How is your relationship?
It's hard.
Yeah. So that may be the first thing you have to heal. You have to heal your relationship with your wife so that your child is not caught in the middle of it. And they always get caught in the middle, you know?
Yeah. Any suggestions on how I can try to facilitate that?
I'm not sure what the situation is, but couples counseling really is a good beginning.
Okay.
You know, wait till the fun drive, which takes place in October. Get one of the consultations that I offer by donating the money to the station, and I'll be happy to see you myself.
Yeah, it's hard financially to do that, but thank you.
Okay. And if not, call my office and I'll direct you someplace.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900, this is Armand DeMille. So very often when there's a child in the middle, you see that the parents are at odds, and that's kind of what happens. The child learns to take care of, pick up the slack of the conflict. Let's take another call, 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, this is Denise Armand.
Hello, Denise.
Hi, I like the topic, and I have something that's in my heart now about changing. And I was never...
You know, Denise, we're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay.
Could you talk directly into the phone as loud as you can?
Okay, is this better?
Yes, but don't move much.
Okay.
I think you're on a cell phone?
No.
But it's a remote phone. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So my daughter, I was never honest with her. I was always very giving and doing, but I was never really honest. I played my life by the rules, by the shoulds. Now that I'm older and taking care of myself more, it's different how I want to be with her. And when I try to share my heart with her in a loving way, she became sad and angry. And I realize I changed. And I wanted her to maybe celebrate some of the change. But, man, that was a long shot. Celebrate nothing. She's freaking out. And I feel really sad.
I understand, Denise. Well, this kind of goes back to the original call. I'm going to hang up because I hear your phone is just breaking up. It's hard to hear, but I hear what the conflict is. Our children are our children. They are not our friends. When you celebrate the evolution of you, the change in you, where you could come out in a different kind of way, expecting your daughter, who has been adapting to your other way of being, to suddenly shift, is an illusion. She can't shift. It's not for now. It's for later when you do that. So what she's expecting you to do is be mommy, because you were always mommy of a certain kind, even if it was a withholding mommy. So just because a parent changes doesn't mean the child is going to change automatically. In fact, children hate when their parents change. Children would love their parents to be consistent. 212-209-2900. Another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Oh, it's great to talk to you.
And what's your name?
Margie.
Hello, Margie.
Hi. I wanted to react to something you said before about how we find our parents and actually end up with them in adult relationships.
Yes.
And I did that with my first marriage. I married someone who was really horribly abusive. And I was depressed. I was anxious. It was a mess. And I got into therapy with a wonderful therapist, and she basically saved my life. And I got out of that marriage after quite a while. And I wasn't looking to do it, but I met a fantastic guy. And nevertheless, I tried to sabotage it because he was just such a good man. And he was so totally loving to me. I couldn't, you know, it was just ego, alien to my ego.
Right, exactly. And you're saying something, a technical term, but it really means that. You're used to being abused. Abuse went along with love.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Then you go to somebody else, and they're supposed to, and they abuse you. Then a guy comes along, and he doesn't abuse you, and you say, wait a minute.
It doesn't feel
like love.
Yeah, so I kept working in therapy, and she came to know my, now he's my husband, she came to know him through me, and she said, he's a really good man. And we married, and I've been extremely happy. But when I left therapy, she said three things to me. She said, don't sabotage and don't overreact. And she said, don't project, you know. But I think that's very important because I still have to catch myself doing little acts of sabotage that I think of but I don't act on.
I hear you, Margie. It's very, very...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. And especially, you know, it's really true. People, because of the consistency of a loving relationship, people often sabotage it just to kind of stir up the waters a little bit. It becomes very hard, you know, to settle into real love. You know, when you have a real love with somebody and they have a real love with you, almost nobody ever settles for that. They always shake it up in some way.
Why do they do that?
Because they want the energy of the inconsistency.
Oh.
It challenges you.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It's like you get kind of lost in a kind of love that is just not challenging at all. But I think it's great. I think people should find challenges elsewhere and try to see if they could let that relationship come through, if possible.
Yes.
But you've come a good distance.
Well, my kids are grown. I'm an older woman, I guess you'd say. And I just feel very blessed that I was able to work with this wonderful therapist and not throw this great guy away. And
good for you.
I love listening to you, and keep up the great work, Armand.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Margie.
Bye-bye.
And I also want to make a mention of something else. The other day I was talking about men, and I was talking about men's finding sexual relief, and I made a crossing, passing reference to men going to massage parlors for sexual release. And I got a call from somebody. I got an email from someone, a listener, who said, you know, we massage therapists have a hard enough time as it is with people's characteristics of us. For you to put that on air really kind of characterizes us as prostitutes, in effect. And I want to apologize for that, because that's absolutely right. That's a wrong characterization. What I was thinking about men who go to, in effect, what they call massage parlors but aren't. So I want to let you know that I do not have that disrespect for the profession. I think it's a beautiful profession. In fact, I invited the author who sent me the note on air to talk to us about what it's like to do touch with people. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, with more interesting stuff. If you want to send me an email, you could go to armand@brainlink.com, or the website is thepositivemind.com. Here's a little exciting music.
It's WBAI.
Wow, sounds weird.
Weird, but I like it.
I like it.
What is it?
It's WBAI.
I like it.
Did you honor your pledge?
To go low carb?
To send money to WBAI.
Well, you mean write a check?
Yeah, I mean write a check.
I wrote it.
Well, now send it.
Oh, send it.
To WBAI.
120 Wall Street.
New York, New York.
10005.
WBAI. I like it.
Yeah!
And you're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI, and WBAI.org. If you visit that website, WBAI.org, right there in the center of the homepage, Wednesday, September 16th, 6:30 p.m. Actually, the doors open at 6:30 p.m. at the New York Society for Ethical Culture. The event, A People's Agenda, Howard Jordan, Hugh Hamilton, and Earl Caldwell will be in conversation. The program will start at 7 p.m. It's $10 admission. It's a fundraiser for WBAI. You can contact Brown Paper Tickets at 1-800-838-3006. That's 1-800-838-3006 for the ticket information. That's for the event at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, a benefit for WBAI. And that's where you're tuned to 99.5 FM. Coming up next at 2 p.m. will be the Arts Magazine. That's the Arts Magazine at 2 p.m. I guess we have a couple of minutes before then, and we can bring you the announcement in and of itself, and then we'll move on to the Arts Magazine.
You know, I'll tell you what bothers me. The inability to generate a level of income that can make you feel sufficiently comfortable that you can provide for your family, provide for your children.
You know, one of the things I found interesting and probably the defining stories were the election of Obama and the confirmation of Sonia Sotomayor, in the sense that it explored the realm of possibility for African Americans and Latinos in the U.S. experience.
What scares me is the way that we're reporting this health care issue. These town hall meetings, you have people coming in with guns and they're taking over, and you would think that is the town hall. But we don't know. We don't even know who these people are, and yet they lead the news. It's the whole story.
I'm Hugh Hamilton, inviting you to join me for a live throwdown with fellow WBAI radio hosts Earl Caldwell and Howard Jordan. It's on this Wednesday, September 16th, at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, just off Central Park West here in Manhattan. Showtime begins at 7 p.m., and tickets are $10 each. From our website at WBAI.org, you can buy your tickets directly by clicking on the link to brownpapertickets.com or call 1-800-838-3006 and ask for tickets to the People's Agenda. That's 1-800-838-3006 and ask for tickets to the People's Agenda. I'll see you there.
We are Refining Faith, and we listen to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.